Meeting. I am here and I will be here.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want you to know that the Lord wants you to allow Him to draw you. He wants you to entertain His presence. He wants you to set yourself to be with Him. Because He's come to be with us. He's a lover who requires that we not forget about Him, that we not turn aside, that we not set our eyes on useless things and lesser things. But that we keep seeking Him. He says it over and over in His Word. Seek my face. Seek my face.
Yes.
And He wants to come to us in deeper ways, in higher ways, in clearer ways,
yes.
In what we call supernatural ways. The invisible brings manifestation into the visible. He wants to take us up. He wants us to go higher. He wants us to reach higher.
Yes.
He wants us to live in the glory. I'm so taken by something. By the way, I've started the message in case you. I'm so taken with something the Lord showed me. And then He gave me a dream. It's a funny thing that He would give me a dream about something that somebody has already dreamed. In Genesis 28:12 it says, "And Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." I dreamed a few nights ago that I was on a very high place. And the only way to traverse it was with ladders. But I had a problem. I knew that that's where I wanted to go, but the ladder didn't have any rungs. This was a faith dream. So in the dream I said, "I don't care, I'm going anyway." And as soon as I said that and looked the other way, the ladders had rungs and I could easily traverse where I needed to go. Don't you know there's somewhere to go, and the fact that you can't see where it is doesn't mean you can't say, "I'm going anyway." The fact that you don't have a blueprint how to get there doesn't mean you can't say, "I'm going anyway." Isn't there something in you that wants Him so much that you're going to get there somehow, some way, and you're saying, "I'm going anyway"? Lots of other people have gone there. Why can't you decide, "I'm going anyway"? This is the first opening of heaven mentioned in the Word. As heaven was opened, the Lord was standing above the ladder and began to give to Jacob and to make promises. That's the reason for heaven's opening, is to give to us, is so we can hear the promises clearly. So Jacob said in verse 17, he was afraid, full of awe, and he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now hold on, everybody. This is the house of God right here.
Yes.
This is a place where He's put His name, so this is one of the gates to heaven.
Yes.
All we need to do is wake up and be awed.
Yes.
Say, "I just didn't know it." I'm not being poetic. I'm telling you how it is. Right here, as soon as we wake up and see the ladder and get on it, we're going to see the heavens open. I'm so excited about seeing the heavens open. It's the will of God for us to obtain the things of heaven. I don't know if any of you have this Spurgeon thing that he writes every day. Do you get that, Jane, on your Bible soft? Yesterday morning, and I'm sorry I didn't make a copy of it, Charles Spurgeon said, here's what it means to be citizens of heaven. It means all the things of heaven belong to us. And he started naming all of the things in heaven that are ours. When the heavens open and man stands at the gate, we begin to see the ongoing connection between heaven and earth. Heaven's a place. How many of you believe in Johnson City? Well, heaven is just as real as Johnson City. That's what I'm telling you. Does everybody here get what I'm saying? Heaven is a place. It's not some ethereal hope. It is located. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You better know what you're praying for to come out of heaven, come to earth. And if there's not a heaven there, then there's no need to try to get anything out of it. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he's purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Or that he might unify all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth. He's bringing heaven and earth together. He's unifying earth with heaven. Open heavens bring heaven and earth together. The atmosphere of heaven then begins to infiltrate those who are under those open heaven. Like Jacob. No wonder he started acting so weird. Oh my gosh, he said, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. I didn't even know it. And he got up and started pouring oil on the rocks. He said, this is a holy place. Why didn't somebody tell me? I'm here to tell you, you're sitting in a holy seat today. You're in a holy atmosphere. We had grace to worship God this morning. Grace. Nobody made that up. Jesus told Nathanael that the word of wisdom was a small thing. He said, you think my seeing you under the tree before I got there is a big deal? In John 1:49-51, he said, because I said to thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said to him, verily I send you hereafter. Now Jesus just brought this up. Hereafter you shall see heaven open. Nathanael standing there like, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. How many of you believe in people? Well, angels are just as real as people. Amen. The Bible is full of angels. Of every kind and every kind of a situation you can imagine, you better believe in angels. By the way, they didn't die either. Those same Bible angels, they're still around. Angels are called to be ministers to believers. It's interesting that when speaking of angels, the scripture says they ascend and descend. You'd think they'd descend and ascend. Must be they're already here. And they ascend to get whatever it is you need or whatever it is you're praying about or whatever the situation calls for. They go up to heaven, get that, and come back down. Hebrews 1:14 says they are ministering angels here for you. Ministering spirits. When people won't help you, get yourself an angel. Psalm 103 says if we will say the word of God, he will command his angel according to that word. God commands the angels, and when we speak that word, there's power in that word for the angels to receive the command. The scripture says that angels strengthened Jesus after his temptations in the wilderness and when he prayed in Gethsemane. An angel cooked for Elijah. 1 Kings 19:5-8, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. This is when he ran from Jezebel, he's all shook up. And said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake. This is the real angel food cake. Bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, and touched him. I mean, this angel's taking care of him. Said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the Mount of God. Now, when an angel cooks you something, it'll hold you for a while. My mother used to say, eat another biscuit, it'll kick in later. Well, this stuff kicked in for 40 days. In the scripture, it tells us when the heavens opened to Jesus. Matthew 3:16-17, Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I want you to notice this. This is in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is baptized, the scripture says, and praying. You're not ever going to get the heavens open without praying, of course. You do understand this, don't you? This is not talking about occasional conscience praying. I'm talking about really pray. People who really pray. James 5 said that when Elijah prayed, heaven gave. So now the heavens have opened to Jesus. Now in Matthew 14, because the heavens are open, beginning at verse 19, it says, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, which was open. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled and took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, you know some of the naysayers, I mean, you can even find this in writing, said that Jesus backed up to a cave and the disciples, you know, were giving him out some bread there because they cannot imagine that Jesus could get miraculous supernatural bread, but he got it by looking to heaven, remember? He didn't look to a brass heaven. He looked to an open heaven. I want you to get this today, because we're getting the heavens open here. Mark 7:34, it says of Jesus, looking up to heaven, which was open, He sighed and said, "Ephatha," which means be opened. He is either talking to heaven or to this man's tongue, or his problem that he had with speaking. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. So it's always easy for Jesus to just get whatever thing was needed. New eardrums, no problem. New tongue attachment, no problem. He just looked up to heaven and said, "Be opened." Because it was already open to him. Because his father was so pleased with him and he was praying. And he was obedient, being baptized, that the father said, "The heavens are open to him." The heavens opened in the book of Acts, didn't they? When Peter saw a sheet let down from heaven. Sheet came right out of heaven. Of course, Peter was praying. I don't want this to get on your nerves, but this happens to people that believe in prayer and do it. The heavens opened as Paul was lifted up into the third heaven. And he saw things that were not lawful to tell. He said, "I didn't know if I was in the body or out of the body." The heavens opened to John on the Isle of Patmos, and a voice beckoned him, "Come up hither." He heard the voice, and then he looked and he said, "I saw a door opened in heaven." Are you about to get to the point that heaven opens? Yes. Hello? Yes. Heaven opens to people. How many of you know we've had so much earth, we need some heaven? Back to the first mention of heaven opening to Jacob in the book of Genesis. Verse 17, chapter 28 says, "And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." When I think about this picture, he was dreaming and he saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven and God on his throne at the top. And angels were going up the ladder and coming down the ladder. How many of you know that angels don't need a ladder? Who needs a ladder? We do. Now, classic preaching has it, of course, that Jesus is the ladder, and he is. He's the connector. Jesus is the one that opened heaven with his blood. He's also the one that opened hell and took the keys away from death and hell. But thank God, God gives us a ladder in Revelation. And tells us he'll be at the top of it. With the heaven open. And he's got angels. That are going to go up and get what we need. And come back down and bring it to us. When I talked to Prophet Victor, who'll be here the last weekend in August. Prophet Victor. He just talked to me about angels. And he said, "You know, the Lord's going to start using angels working with you." He told me about the first time he ever saw an angel. He got in the car with him. Next thing he knew, his car was on the side of the road. He was leaned over the steering wheel like this, out, had been for 5 hours. He said, "It was so wonderful." He said, "You know, Sue, if you ever see angels, listen to me, if you ever see angels, you'll change. Everything in you will from that time want to be in heaven and always be where that wonderful atmosphere is. Angels, he sees angels here when he comes. Sometimes he'll say, seven, standing at the back of the church. One standing at each door. Angels. In the Hebrew, the word for ladder is salam. It has a numerical value of 136, which is the same numerical value of kol, K-O-L, which is the Hebrew word for voice. Voice. Our voice then can become the ladder that takes us upward through prayer and praise and worship. There are levels of ascent into His presence. You know, one of the Psalms is the Song of Ascent. Psalms of Ascent. And they would sing those Psalms as they went up those hundreds of steps up into the temple. This is why I try to get us, let me just say it one more time, I'm wanting us to be at church ahead of time so we can ascend into the presence of the Lord together. Know what a holy privilege it is. Because we're not just coming to church. We're coming to ascend. Song of Solomon 2:14 says, O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. I always wondered where in the world those stairs were. Now I got it. It's the ladder. Listen, what he's saying to her in the secret place of the stairs or the ladder. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. I want anybody in here that doesn't like your voice to quit it and get over it. Everybody can't be Pavarotti or even Judy Weatherford. Some of us have to be the rest of us. He wants to hear your voice on the ladder. He wants to hear you pray on the ladder. He wants to hear you worship and praise on the ladder. He wants, how many of you are aware today that we started at one level and went to another up the ladder today? Thank you, Jesus, for that wonderful picture today. What a demonstration of what I was going to preach today. Andrew Murray, in his book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, tells a wonderful story about a minister named Blumhardt who has a burden to see the sick healed. Now listen very careful. There's revelation in here. He realized that he was not going to be very successful, Blumhardt did, in getting the people healed, he said, unless the gates of heaven would be fully open to him. Did you know Andrew Murray believed in getting the gates of heaven open? No wonder he impacted his generation so. Back then, you could be a Presbyterian or Dutch Reformed and really believe in stuff. Yes. These days, we just preaching messages about how not to get mad. Right. How to do some better things. I'm so worn out with it. If you'll move into the next realm, you'll not only do those things, they'll be easy instead of by the flesh. Easy. So, Blumhardt had read Jesus' parable of the person who went to his friend at midnight to ask for bread for a guest who had come to him. Remember the parable? I've already read you half the Bible, so I can't go into this. And he came to ask for bread for a guest who had come to him. When his friend was not willing to get out of bed, I like it because he says, remember, I can't. I'm in bed and my children with me. I think, oh, poor guy. So I can't get up. And so the scripture says that he wouldn't do it for him because he was his friend. But he did do it when he kept insisting. That's where Jesus teaches about asking, seeking, knocking. Three more rungs in the ladder. Asking, seeking, knocking. Jesus is your wonderful, great friend to whom you go to get something for your other friend. Sometimes your friend can't get something for himself, especially when he's sick. It's so amazing. This is such a revelation. The friend doesn't give it to him because he's his friend. Somehow it's like this thing the Lord's saying, I'm not going to give it to you just because of your relationship with me. I want you to learn how to come up the ladder. I want to bring you closer to myself. I don't want to just give you stuff. And I want you to get the heavens open. I don't want you to just squeak something out through the crack every now and then. I mean, he's really denying us for a season so he can throw the gates open wide. And listen, and then stay open to us. Get an open heaven over this place. When that happens, everybody in the community will know it. Because every time you come here, you'll feel and know the blessing of the Lord. And the things that people need will start being delivered. This is a great story. Because he importuned, the friend who had the bread relented and gave him three loaves. Blumhardt had also been reading about the widow who went to plead her case to the unjust judge. And remember that he said that this judge was not afraid of man, not afraid of God, not afraid of anybody. But here's this little widow. Why is he going to do something for her? He's not afraid of anybody. He said it was because of her importunity. He said, give it to her. She's going to wear me out. Every morning of the world, every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning, I come before the Lord. Thank God I get to come with the birds eating their first meal and all that now that it's so nice and warm out on my back porch very early. Before I finish my private prayer time with him, every morning I say, Lord, the harvest is almost ripe. Yes. And my body has to come out even with the harvest. I implore you, make these feet absolutely normal. And show me exactly what you want me to do in the harvest. Every morning, every morning, every morning. Oh, that woman's down there worrying me one more time. Talking about it again, talking about it again, talking about it again, talking about it again. She must be interested in it. Some people have the idea you only pray for something once. Well, there's no scripture for that. Look, read your Bible. It's all the way through the Bible. Pray for something until you get it. You're not taking away the faith of what you had before. Just proclaim, okay, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. You promised it. Lord, I've come today to declare it is mine, it is mine, it is mine. Apparently, he likes to be pestered. Isn't that amazing? I think John likes me to pester him. He sits and reads the paper and I ask him questions. He says, So finally I say, read to me what it says about the oil well. Because that way he knows I'm tuned in with him and I want to talk to him. And I'm there and I'm not going anywhere. Every day I'm going to be there. Every morning when he gets up, I'm going to be there right at his house pestering him. So he felt that the Lord showed him that the widow is the church and that he as a minister has the right to plead her case. He realized that the church through unbelief, I'm quoting, through unbelief, sloth, and disobedience, had lost the ability to overcome Satan. This would be such a time he should intercede and intervene. Whenever the church can't get through, it's time for us to get importunate. Murray said, in Blumhardt's first struggle with the evil spirits, it took him more than 18 months of much prayer and labor before the final victory was gained. Afterward, he had such ease. I mentioned ease a while ago. When you get the heavens open, things get easy. Afterward, he had such ease of access to the throne and stood in such close communion with the unseen world that often when letters came asking prayer for sick people, he could, after just looking upward for a single moment like Jesus did, obtain the answer whether they would be healed. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody praying for you who can look to heaven and hear from heaven? Blumhardt said it came gradually. He said, for a long time, the Lord did not give me the loaves. Then I received the first three loaves and had enough to spare. But the supply was small, and new guests came because they saw that I had a heart to help them. However much labor it cost me, I went each time again and again he would give me the three loaves. Often I got what I asked much quicker than the first and also much more abundantly. Do you get the picture?
Yes.
That at first it took him quite a while to get the heavens open. And it came little by little. At first, he got three loaves. He said it was enough, and I had some left over. Then he said, I would go again. Sometimes he said it was easy. Other times, it was a little more difficult. And the devil tells you when it's a little more difficult, see, he's not going to give it to you anymore. Oh, Lord, help us. If he gave it to you once, he'll give it to you again. He never has to prophesy, verily, thus I have made a mistake. I thoughtest that thou wast somebody nice, but thou art not. I'm finishing right here. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, we're going to do something this morning. Are you ready? Is anybody ready? Well, I wanted somebody to be ready because I am. We're going to acknowledge that this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And here's what I want you to do. And this is something that Kenneth Hagin does, used to do in meetings. I've been to his meetings down at Sanders. He has the people come and pray all together in one accord like they did in the New Testament. That's really the way they prayed. Did you know this? They all lifted up their voice with one accord. Because they weren't praying to each other. They were praying to God. And what I want you to do is I want you to just step forward to the altar. And I want you to, if you can, kneel. And if you can't, then I want you to stand. You can kneel right here around the edges of the altar. And you can kneel right here on the floor. And it's not going to take a long time. It's just going to be real. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on Jesus. I want you to focus on Jesus. And there's some spots over here and over there that you can fill in. And if you need to hold on to something, feel free. If you need to sit on something, feel free. But I just want us to gather up here, and I want you to forget there's anybody else around. This is between you and God. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray aloud. You're not going to be afraid. I don't want you to mumble your prayer. I want you to pray it. And we're going to pray and say, Lord, I believe this is the gate of heaven. And I'm asking you to open the heavens to me and to this church. And you're just going to pour your heart out before him. Just tell him you need to get into heaven. You need what heaven has. You need to be able to bring it to other people. You need to lay hold on the supernatural things that he's promised us. And you want to learn how to go up the ladder. Come on, you can tell him any of these things that you want to say to him. But you're just praying to God, and you're making your request known to him. And I want you to start praying, and some of you will start weeping. And I want you to please feel free. Just let those tears pour. I want you to just call on God. Now, come on, we're going to pray. Lord, we believe you. We believe this is the gate of heaven. We believe this is the house of God. Oh, God, we've come to lift up our voice with one accord. We've come to cry out to you today, Lord. Oh, God, we want you to open the heavens to us. We want to see you, Lord. We want to see your face. We want you to extend your hand to us in this place. We want to walk and live in the glory, Jesus. Lord, we're looking to you with our whole heart. We're standing, Lord. We're keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking to the mercy. We know that you're a merciful God. And Lord, we're asking you to pour out your mercies on us in this place. Oh, give us grace today, Lord, to pour out our hearts before you. We're not ashamed in this house. We're not ashamed to call on the God that saved us and healed us. And has given us such a wonderful reality of his presence and worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, God, we're hungry and thirsty for you. We're so hungry and thirsty for the presence of the living God. Oh, to have your spirit in this place. To have you moving freely among us. To have the revelation of the Holy Ghost on our hearts. Oh, Lord, show us how to climb that ladder. Show us how to take the next step and the next step and the next step, oh God. Oh, Rabasutananamasitinanamande kedelididiyasutananamasa. Erinininibohoribositilidibose. We pour our hearts before you today, oh God. Show us your mercy, show us your mercy, show us your mercy. Who's a God like to our God who hears the prayers of his people? Oh, we love you. We need you so much. We need what heaven has to give us. We need it to share with others. It's such a desperate time, Lord. Such a desperate time. We're so desperate for you, Lord. Oh, take us on, Jesus. Take us up, Lord. Take us up higher. Take us up higher, Lord. Oh, God, we're not ashamed to humble ourselves before you and call on your name. We call on your name. We draw on your mercy, oh God.